for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday, September the 1st, 2005. First service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Angelo Rosario of the Bronx, New York is the minister on this service.
Well, I'm going to put Brother Angelo and his family up here to finish up the service this evening. And when he says amen tonight, why, you'll be dismissed. Brother Angelo, come up and introduce your wife and daughter, and let her preach if you want to. Now, I met these folks down in Beaumont, at Jim Landry's, and you were there too, and Doc was there, and I kind of really liked the message I heard out of him. I said, I would like for you to come to the campground and teach us some. So he consented, he and his wife and daughter, and we're glad to have them. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you. I want to bless God and thank God for mercy and grace, for the reality of His Word. I want to thank God because God is not a religion. God is a way of life. Because if religion was to save the world, this world would be a paradise. God is more than that. God is our Father, and Jesus is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit is doing, I say, a new thing. Because He's breaking down barriers that the enemy has put up to keep people separated so that they do not pray together. And I believe that's demonology in His best work. If people that have been called by His name cannot pray together because of different languages or different races, they have forgotten that God has created one race, and that's the human race. And that there's one blood that redeems the whole world. And that is the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I agree with my brother that we have had a free ride. And we have taken for granted the mercy of God for this nation. I believe that God is on a last mission to destroy the powers of the enemy. And how the enemy has deceived the churches and us ministers and bishops and whatever titles we may think we have. Because if titles will take us into the kingdom, we will already be there. Every day there are more titles that are coming out. They anoint the ordain me bishop, reverend, apostle, rabbi, I don't know what else they want to. And every time you find out that without the anointment of God, we're nothing with all the titles we have. I want to be able to present my wife, and like I said, she preaches, she sings, she writes, I don't know what she don't know. She takes care of me. That's the hardest job. And I want her to come forward and just, come on, come and greet. You want to stay? I don't know if my daughter Angela, you have a song for us today? Huh? They want me to preach. That's what it is. See? I want to tell you, I also been blessed. The last couple of days, I was blessed highly. I lost a grandchild that went home to be with the Lord. And I say that's a blessing. Because the devil didn't take him. God took him. And I believe that we pass on to live. Because when we're born, every one of us that come into this world has to go one day or another. He was 13 years old. He was born with a defective heart. They said he would only live 9 months, but God gave us 14 years. 14 great years. Not only did he live, he ministered to many people. God brought a tremendous blessing to him. The last time we were in Texas, and we were preaching and teaching on spiritual warfare, I went home, and a week later I lost a granddaughter. But I didn't lose her. She went home to be with the Lord. Now I got 7 daughters, 2 sons, 22 grandchildren. Never lost anybody. 7 brothers, 2 sisters, large family. Never, ever lost anybody. But when I left from Texas, I heard a voice that said, I'm going to take your family. And I said, you can't take what God has already given us. Because, see, the devil will try to stop you from doing whatever God has called you to do by imparting fear into your life. But I believe and I know that my life does not begin here because we are eternal. And the enemy can't not take anything because God has already preordained what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, when we're going home. Some of us are going home first and some are going home later. And we don't know what God has in His hand because He knows the future. But I do know that each one of them that went home, because they're not lost, they're home. They're more alive than you and I because they're already there. I know that the enemy cannot touch their body anymore. That the Lord has a new body for them. So He cannot stop me from testifying, from glorifying the God that lives. The God that saved me 48 years back. So I want to just bless God and I want to just talk to you a little bit, just a little bit, about something that's so important. But I don't know if I should talk to you because my brother already spoke the verses in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. He brought those verses out. But I want to take you to verse 24 of Matthew 24. I want to take you there because we are living in the last days. Every day that goes by, it gets worse and worse. And I just want to use this verse to allow you to understand that there is an enemy that continuously battles against us. No matter what we call ourselves or what denomination or what race we belong to, God sees that we belong to one race, the human race. For this verse is said this in this form, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For there should arise false Christs, false prophets, and should show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you this before. The verse 25, right on the bottom. I have already explained this to you. That when I go, there are going to come many false Christs, many false religions, many spirits that were going to be unleashed, that were going to set loose from the pit of hell to try to deceive mankind. Many false prophets, false teachers, that we would not be able to discern if we are not in prayer, in honest prayer. Not the prayer of complaining. Not the prayer of asking God for a new house, a new car, some new shoes, a new suit, more money. Not that prayer. Because God will add the material things that you need when He wants to give them to you so that you can be a blessing to yourself and everyone else you meet in your journey through life. But these false prophets and teachers that were going to come forward, we're going to deceive the very elect. For the simple reason that the very elect have lost something. They have lost integrity. They have lost dedication. You see, when they pick up an offering, they tell you, give until it hurts. But look for it in the Bible and you will find that you will never find that verse in the Bible. Because God will only bless a cheerful giver. So the one that is bringing that forward is a spirit of manipulation. It is a demon that is manifesting within the congregation wherever we go to take the money so that he could use it for his own goal. Because then when you look around, the necessities that are right around the corner, right outside their temple, they're still in the same condition. They're still homeless people sleeping in the street while they have the million in the bank. They're not giving the naked person some clothes. They may feed somebody to cover up a little bit. That is demonology. We are being deceived. When you take a good look at what the Lord is telling us, that in the last days, we will have manifestations of demons that have been unleashed from hell to deceive whom? The very elect. And if the elect are deceived, what is going to happen to the members of the church? Because we are the ones that are supposed to be teaching that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a non-changing God. But what was he? He was a man of compassion. He was a man of love. He would take off his cape and give it to anyone that had a need. Demonology in religion doesn't do that. Demonology continues to deceive and tell you the more you give, the more you trust God. But then when they dispossess you out of your house, where was God? We will blame God for every little thing when we have been deceived. The enemy is continuous walking into the church. He will create great signs and wonders because the people are looking for signs and wonders. And the Lord warned us about that. He said that there will be no other sign than Jonah in the belly of the whale. And Jesus in the belly of the earth. And on the third day, he will rise again and he is alive. Go before us. What are the signs that we're looking for? The signs that we're looking for are material signs. You see what your blessing is, which is a blessing also that God provided for you. But you're looking for a sign of a miracle to be healed of cancer, to be healed of a heart problem. That's a material blessing. That's not your spiritual blessing. Your spiritual blessing that says that it does not matter. What matters is that even if your body corrupts and it goes back to the earth where it came from, you should know that your Redeemer lives. And because he lives, you live. And death or sickness cannot separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But demonology will make you feel that God has failed you and that the church has failed you. But I want you to know that God never fails. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. When everyone leaves you, even your moral body leaves you, God rises you right back up again. Because it's not about this life. Signs and wonders. The sign that God has given us is that the doors of hell cannot prevail against his church. You are his church. It's not the building. You are his temple. And while God lives in you, nothing else matters. Who can separate you from the love of God? Sickness. Diseases. Nakedness. My wife leaving me. My husband leaving me. Who can separate me from the love of God? If my mother and my father would forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Demonology tells you have failed. Demonology is telling you, you ain't prayed enough. Now you pray and you fast and you still don't get results. You don't have to pray and fast anymore. You have to pray and fast, but you got to believe in what you're praying. Because if you don't believe it, who's going to believe it? No matter what happens, signs and wonders, what kinds of signs are you looking for? Every time we look around, there is a sign that is being manifested. Murder, robbery, wars, rumors of wars all around us. Hate crimes all around us. Every time we look around, divorces, separations, homosexuality, lesbianism. These are the signs that the Lord said that will be there in the last day. They're here today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The government is fighting about it. They don't know if to allow them to get married or not. You know what? I don't care anymore. What I do care is that God comes quick and that God will set those that are in bondage free. That he may set the homosexual free. That he may set the lesbian free. That he may set the adulteress free. That he may set the drug addicted free. That the demons be cast out. And that God save those that are going to be saved. Because he knows the number. But we're worrying. You know, you can't stop prophecy. Prophecy is on its way and it's going to happen no matter what you do. But the enemy is going to try to stop you. Because he is working it out. When we take a good look at what the Word of God continuously helps us to understand, it tells us to test the spirits. You see, we want to quote scriptures, but we don't want to live the scriptures. We want to quote the Word of God. We want to memorize it. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are going to memorize it and are still not going to be saved. Because it ain't to memorize, it's to live it. And you cannot live it unless the Holy Spirit helps you to live it. Because no matter what you do in your flesh dwells nothing good. And the only thing that's good in you is the Christ that is in you. The greatest sign that you and I could receive is that the Holy Spirit indwells in us and changes our nature. That we do not want to sin because sin is always present, but the want to sin is not there anymore. Why? Because Christ is boss over my sin now. The desire may come, but the will to sin is not there anymore. Now I have the authority to tell my flesh, no. You see, the enemy could only play through your flesh, through your feelings. If you don't have feelings of adultery, he can't mess with you. But if you have feelings for it, he will mess with you. If you are hypnotized and someone hypnotized and told you, kill that person, you can't do it. It's not in your nature. But if he told me, I'll do it. Because my nature had to be changed because God pulled me out of the streets, out of the gangs. Made me a different individual. So I have a hard time, but if Christ's Spirit is living in me, I don't live anymore. So the things that I used to do, I can't do it no more because Christ has control over my life. Signs and wonders. Test the spirits. You think by fasting and praying all the time, you're going to make it? There was a man in Puerto Rico that went up to the mountain to fast for 40 days. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. Came back off the mountain and killed his wife and killed his children. He said that a frog spoke to him and told him to kill his family. Why? Because it was not the fast of the Lord. It was a fast to try to get certain things. You know how people fast for a house? But they don't fast for the house that is in the kingdom of God. They don't fast seeking first the kingdom of God in his righteousness. And all the other things are going to be added on. We're not fasting for the right purposes. We're not fasting so that the love of God could be in us, so that I may be able to lay my life down for my fellow man. We're fasting in the flesh. You know that the devil fasts. And you know that there are denominations out there that fast more than Christians do. Monks, they fast 40 days. They don't even take water. But they'll burn themselves, pour gas on them and burn themselves and don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. They go to temple more than we do. They're there in the morning, before 5 o'clock, before 7, they're in there, in the temple. They're doing their morning prayers. They go in the afternoon. Before they go to bed, they go there too again. And they're always in the temple. They don't think about material things either. They don't mind if they have one robe, one pair of shoes. And if they don't have the pair of shoes, they don't worry about it. Because you know what they say? God gave me feet without shoes. And I got corns underneath my shoes that I could walk on glass and it don't bother me because they got so hard. In Puerto Rico, they used to do that. Because before there were shoes, they walked without shoes. God has given us the ability to have a blessing. We have temples, like our brother said today, in our churches. We have pews and chairs, beautiful chairs, and the chairs are empty many of the time. They're too comfortable. We should put probably some nails in them so that the people be moving around because they're too comfortable. We got rugs and pillows on the altar for people to pray because they can't pray. Their knees hurt. Signs and wonders. We have to look at our prayer life. What are we waiting for? What do we want? What do we need? But I'm going to tell you what we need. We need not to talk about love anymore. We got to act on the love that God has given us. Because that is our victory over Satan. You know why? Because Satan has no love. His love is a lie. He could only love for a little while until he gets what he wants. Until he has control. But the love that God has, he gave his only begotten son. He gave us a love that has no meaning. We can't understand it. Because he laid his life down even when we were in sin, when before we were born, he knew what we were going to be, what we were, what we were. But he loved us anyhow. He loved the sinner, but he hated the sin that dwelled in us. You want to see a sign? Get filled of the love of God. When the love of God is there, Satan can't touch you. He can't take nothing from you because he didn't give it to you. And if he gave it to you, he better take it back. Because it was his anyhow. But what God gives you, and you commit it to God, and you give it to God in honest prayer, and you're anointed with the blessing, Lord, this belongs to you, and I give it to you. God gave, God took. Let the name of the Lord be what? Be blessed. Could you say that? Like Job said, he lost everything he had. A wealthy man, beautiful children. He lost his children, and he said, Lord, the Lord gave. He didn't say that the devil took anything. He said that the Lord gave, and the Lord did what? The Lord took. So that means that he was okay with it. Signs and wonder is not about a building that I could host 1,000 people and preach to them and take their money. It's about how am I going to get them to heaven? How am I going to help them so that they could help somebody else? As we are in the house of God, the sign of God being in us is that we create disciples, that we create teachers, people that could go out and witness to other people what God has done in our lives. But he will deceive the very elect, if at all possible. We are the elect people of the Lord. We must rise up and let God's love flow in us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In this world, what is going to testify is that we have the true and unadulterated love of God. You know what that means? Not changing anything. If I'm drinking a cup of tea and I put a little bit of lemon in it, I adulterated it. When God's love is in us, we love even those that hate us. We pray for those that persecute us. We don't pray, God, kill him, God, destroy him, God, cripple him. I've heard many Christians say that. They're in the altar praying. Lord, why don't you get him fired? Take him out of the job. He has a family too. He's just bound. Thank God that you are free. But I guess you're not free because your prayer ain't right. Because the love of God is what's going to move in your life. What is going to overcome this world is your love. Lord, what can I do to take that spirit of hate out of that person's life? Lord, how should I carry myself so that I may be able to counsel that person that lives according to the flesh because he doesn't know any other life? Lord, do I speak to him or do I just act in love and wait for him to ask me? When Stephen was dying and being stoned, the only way that he was able to make it is because he had unadulterated love in his life. And what overcomes this world? Our love. The love of Christ in us. And he could have cried out and cursed them, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Verse 18 in that same chapter. There is no fear in love. Signs that you may overcome. If you have fear that you are going to lose something, you have not yet received the perfect love of God. Because in love, there is no fear. Because fear brings punishment. And God is not a punisher at this moment. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He will transform our lives. As we look into this verse, and it says, there is no fear in love. How many people live in fear? You ever heard that saying of, I can't be too good, because good people finish what? According to the world. But we're not in the world no more. So we don't finish last. We finish first. Why? Because God is the one that is dwelling in our lives. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. You know how many people are afraid to go out and bring the word? It's easy to be a Christian, our brother said it. That's why I said, he spoke the word. I was listening to them, looking at him in the eye, I said, what is he doing? There's something wrong with him. He's talking what the Lord has put into my heart. Now, I never met him. We have a different type of love than the love that the apostles had. The apostles would allow themselves to be crucified, be burned at the stake. Here in the United States, somebody just brushes us off a little bit, we're mad. We're bothered. And we are supposed to be the light of the world. But at that moment, we become a darkness. They cannot see our good work and glorify our Father who dwells in glory. The spirits of religion are the worst spirits out. You think drugs are bad? You think AIDS and diseases are bad? No. A self-righteous Christian is the worst thing out. Because the true love of God is not in him and he can't help nobody else. That's demonology in its best form. Who crucified Christ? But religious demons. That cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. And later they crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Look around. What we teach our people. When somebody fails or makes a mistake, that the enemy knocks him down and puts him in a spiritual prison. No one wants to go and set him free. I thank God for the United States that if one of our people are caught, we want to set them free. They're better than the Christians. The only ones that kill their own are Christians. When I was in the service, somebody get wounded. The first thing that we would say is, medic! And they will rush right in. It doesn't matter if he was losing a leg or he was dead already. We want to pull him out. But when our brothers and sisters have a problem, we're not fasting so that we could be their shield. So that we could set them free. There's a problem with that type of love. That love does not cover multitudes of sins. As James says that our love will cover multitudes of sins. So that means that what is manifesting today is demonology. I rebuke it in the name of whom? The name of Jesus. Let me explain something else. Everyone is chasing after evangelists all over. They leave the church and they cross from one side of the country to another just to go to a revival. They don't have money to pay their tithes and give the offering to their home church and help the community, but they have to run after everybody else. Why can't we chase Jesus in that particular form? Why can't we go to the mountaintop and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, reveal yourself to me? Why can't we lock ourselves up in a room and start crying out to the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to leave this place until you answer me, until you give me the power of your Holy Spirit, until you give me a new heart filled of love and compassion? Why can't we chase God and seek out after the Lord? Why are we chasing men instead of looking for the Lord? You see, any place you're at, the Lord will meet you. I had an experience about 15 years back. I didn't want to minister no more. I had given up ministering, preaching, and pastoring. I was good teaching a little and going here and there a little bit. But I didn't want to. And the Lord spoke to me and told me, I have called you. But the enemy had me in bondage. And I said, Lord, I don't want to fail you. I locked myself up in my secret closet at that particular moment. You know what my secret closet was at the moment? It was my little bathroom. A little bathroom. You know what my altar was? The commode. I kneeled down because I felt this presence that came upon me and I could not control and I started to cry. And I knelt down and I would not open my mouth. And I spoke to God. And I was listening to God's voice. I didn't even move my lip because do you know that the devil could read lips? He's a lip reader. He can't read your mind. But everything that you say, he'll know and he'll plot to stop you. And if you move your lips too much, he knows how to read your lips. So I said, I ain't even moving my lips, Lord, because he can't read my mind. And I said, Lord, if you tell me these words that I'm going to tell you here in secret, that no one else is going to know, not even the demons, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I will believe and I will accept. And I said, Lord, I don't want to serve you in that manner again. I don't want to fail you. And I said, Lord, if you tell me these words, I will believe. The following day, my niece came to my house. She was going to Albany to go to college. We were having a get-together in my house. And my niece went into the bathroom. She came out crying. She said, God spoke to me. I said, get out of my face. God don't speak to sinners. And she looked at me and said, Uncle, God spoke to me. And she said, and I said, what did he say? She said, I can't tell you right now. I got to go home. She left. That was a Saturday. Sunday, she said, I'll be back tomorrow. Sunday, she comes back in the morning, and she says to me, Theo, which means uncle, last night I had a dream that you were preaching at this African-American church in Brooklyn, and that God was blessing everybody. And I said, okay, that was a dream. That's good. But what did God tell you? She said, the Lord told me to tell you that the reason you don't want to start ministering again in that form is because you're afraid that you're going to fail God. I felt that a sword ran into my heart, and I started to cry. And I said, Lord, let your will be done. My daughter was not born yet. The new church that we have developed, 3 churches in one, started when she was born, and I started again to obey what God wanted us to do. Why? Because the enemy was trying to stop us from doing the will of the Lord. Now, God gave me a beautiful family. I got my oldest daughter. She's a preacher. She's a minister in Yonkers. And her husband. One of my other younger daughters, that's 25, she's a minister in the Bronx. And her husband also. The other one sings. She sings. She preaches. She's going to be out in Texas the next month preaching. At the end of the month. My wife preaches. She sings. She testifies. She writes. She's a blessing. But the enemy wanted to stop that blessing. But you see, he can't stop what God has already ordained. No matter what you go through, how weak you may be, how many mistakes you make, God called you, stand on the mark, and God will make it right. God will change your life. God will make you over. God will pick you up, and the demons got to flee in the name of Jesus. They can't stay. Because before the foundation of the world, God already knew what you and I were going to go through. He knew how the enemy was going to try to stop your work. And in God, there is no age. Because my kids have preached since they were about 5 and 6 years old. Now I'm an old man now. I don't feel old anyway. I'm only 61, but I think I'm 25, so that's a blessing. I may not look it when I look in the mirror, you know, it talks to me, but the reality of God, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And that fear is not made perfect in love. If you live in fear, you have to go back to the drawing table and ask the Lord, Lord, make me over. I am the clay. Let him make you over. Let him take your life and build it anew. But you and I have to do something. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And don't ever think that the spirit that are going to come to you, that's in chapter 4 of John, verse 1, that are going to come to you with horns and a tail. They're going to come to you with a tremendous knowledge of spiritual things. They're going to come trying to confuse you. They know Bible too. They'll always take something out, but they know Bible. You got to test the spirits. I have people say, Bishop or Reverend or whatever they want to call me, I got to pray for you. I said, okay, pray for me. It doesn't matter who it is. But as they're praying, I'm saying, I'm just saying, Lord, if this ain't yours, I rebuke it. I renounce it in the blessed name of Jesus. Father God, right now, let your hands be put on me and not theirs. It could be my father, my mother, my pastor. When I pray for the people in my church, I tell them the same. As I'm praying for you, make sure that you pray. Lord, let your will be done. How do you know that I have not transformed myself into a fallen angel? How do you know that overnight something has not happened to me? You got to test every spirit. As I'm preaching here today, I'm testing my spirit. And I'm rebuking anything that does not pertain to the Lord. And I'm saying in my mind when I get the moment, I said, I know that the Lord came in the flesh. I know that He walked upon the face of the earth. I also know that He died and resurrected and is coming back again. Because the demons cannot testify that Jesus came in the flesh. Died and resurrected. And that His precious blood has cleansed me of all sins. Blessed be His holy name. You got to test the spirits. It is important You're not doubting the prophet. But every prophecy has to be put to what? To the test. No matter who we are. If they get offended, then they got to go to the drawing table and there was something wrong there anyhow. Because the word tells me, test the spirits. Because in the last days, if it is at all possible, the very elect are going to be deceived. Have you heard of many people being called by the Lord and going out and fail and come back and say, oh, that must have not been the right time? No, they didn't test the spirits. When God sends you and God calls you, no matter how bad things are, you're going to be victorious. Even if you die on your journey. Because God will never fail. And the Lord will always back you up in whatever He has said. He's not a man to lie. He's going to have His way. The devil don't have no power. You ever heard in the church, testimonies in the church continuously? Oh, the enemy has my family. I don't know what an enemy, because I think my God is greater than the enemy. It means that we have to put ourselves in the place that we should be. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world know us not, because it knows Him not. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1. You see those verses in the Bible? They all talk the same thing. For is very important to you, because it's part of who you should be. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. You know how many false prophets continuously come out? There's a couple of prophets in New York that all they're doing is robbing souls from other churches and telling them that they have the answer. You know what? I don't have the answer. Because the answer is Jesus Christ. Do you know that we don't need more churches? What we need is more of God in the churches. More of God's unadulterated love. That we may be able to say, you are my brother and my sister. In good times and in bad times. You know when Jesus prayed for Peter, I always loved that. Because Peter was a man just like we are. And the Lord prayed. And I know that Jesus' prayers were all answered, don't you think? He says, I have prayed so your faith fails you not. But he wound up denying the Lord. But he wound up repenting at the same time. Because then he recognized that without the Lord, he could do nothing. That his strength was in Jesus. Where is your strength today? How are you going to get the divine revelation that you and I need? Spiritual warfare starts with the love that God has put in our hearts to do His work. That no one can separate us from the love of God. In closing, I want you to know that Jesus has given us a spirit of victory over all the powers of the devil. He has no more power over you. The only power that He has is the power that you allow Him to have. When you stand fast and see His glory, stand fast and fear not. Stand fast and believe that if He is with you, who can be against you? When you're in fear at the moment, do like the little kids do. Close your eyes. And just say, Lord, I'm in your hands. Lord, I'm in your hands. Lord, I'm in your hands. Let God's Spirit move in your spirit and you will see the glory of God. I was talking to my brother on the way up. I came out of a small church. My pastor was a delivering minister. He was one of the greatest ministers that I think I ever saw. When they was not doing deliverance in the late 50s, early 60s, out of our home church, I think we had over 150 ministers, evangelists that came out of that home church. But this man had such a connection with God in prayer. Had 12 kids. Was called to do God's work. I was talking about, when I met my brother today in the airport, a person from India came to my church. And he was sitting all the way in the back, and my pastor is preaching in Spanish. In order the son of the Holy Spirit of God hits him, and he started to speak in other tongues. And he started to speak in an Indian dialect. Didn't know what he was saying. For about 15 minutes, God is using him, and he's under the Spirit. He hardly never moved, because when he moved in the Spirit, it was not just because it was a game or a show. It was because God's presence was there. And you could feel in the midst the power of God. And when he finished speaking in tongues, he started preaching in Spanish again. At the end of the service, he came up and started to speak to my pastor in his dialect. My pastor called me over and says, tell him I don't speak English, because he thought he was speaking English. My pastor didn't speak any English. And he says to me, I said, do you speak English? He said, yes. I said, because he doesn't understand what you're saying. He said, but he just spoke to me directly and told me that I'm here in the United States in disobedience with God, that I must go back to my village and do the work that God has called me to do. Not only did he say that, he told me about my family. He told me about my ancestors, people that I had forgotten about. And God is calling me back. How can you tell me? I said, well, that's the Spirit of the living God speaking. His tears started to tear down and started to cry. Because he came here to make money, but God didn't want him to make money. He wanted him to save souls. Ha, come on. When we allow God's Spirit to move in our lives, it doesn't matter where we're at. God is going to provide. He left. We didn't hear from him for about maybe 10 to 15 years. When we did hear from him, God was using him mightily. Why? Because we have to test the spirits. Today, I'm here to tell you that we're living in the last days. There will be many deceiving spirits that will be unleashed from the pit of hell, trying to deceive the very elect. But that's okay, because God is going to allow judgment to enter into the house, because he can't judge the world until he fixes us up. God is going to fix us up. He's going to tear down the walls of denomination and religion and race. See, I don't want a black church. I don't want a white church. I don't want a Puerto Rican church. I just want to be a servant of God to all. We have too many churches that are separated, that we cannot come together. When I met my brothers, it felt like I was home. For some reason or another, beyond my wildest dreams. When we started to do God's work, we test the spirits. 25 years back, the Lord revealed to us, or revealed to me, that I was going to be leading the clergy task force in the borough of the Bronx. I put it out of my mind. I didn't want to do it. And I left it alone. I just done God's work. Today, I am the CEO of the Borough of the Bronx, of the clergy task force for all the denominations in the Bronx. They couldn't get 12 churches together. We have about 108 already and less than 3 meetings that we had. They called me from Manhattan the other day. Virginia Field, and the borough president from Manhattan, said, we want you to bring the same model to Manhattan. Because the Lord gave me a vision. But behind the vision, he gave me a plan to take back the city. We have Muslims, we have Jews, we have Christians, we have Catholics, we have Baptists, we have Pentecostals. Because the Lord is breaking down the doors. The Lord is going to give us another opportunity to bring the last revival. You know what revival really is? Revival, all it is work. Rejoicing after the work that you have done. Every time that you saw that they had a revival, they were building the temple. They were having a feast because the harvest had come. When you're working, then after the work comes the revival, comes the joy. But people want to have a revival without working. The word says that he that don't work don't eat. So you can't eat spiritual or material wise, but I already ate, but I'm working. And the food was good, I got to tell you. We got a good cook. So I want to just bless God and tell you we're living in the last days. What's my brother's name? I'm sorry I spoke before. Clement. Praise God. God bless you. Clemente. That was my pastor's name. That was my pastor's name, Reverend Clemente Repollé. That's more weird. That's a blessing. Because I'm looking for my pastor too. You see, I miss my pastor. I had one pastor, and I missed him. A lot of people have 10, 20 different pastors. I had one pastor, and I missed that old man. That man was just a vessel of God. He spoke so many things that were in my heart. And I believe that God that created the heavens and the earth was just bearing witness to what I was saying. So today, I pray that those of us that are here, we may be able to see the signs of the last days. It is no longer about following a man, it's about following Christ. And if you knew Christ according to the flesh, you don't know him that way anymore, because he has risen from the dead. And we must follow him in spirit and in truth. May the Spirit of God that overcome the spirits that run this world dwell in us all today. And that you may realize that no matter what he tries to do to you, as long as your faith stays in God, and that you know that one day you're going to leave this world, you will never have any fear. If the Lord wants me to live under a bridge, let his will be done. My wife can stay in the apartment because I don't want her living under a bridge. But whatever God wants, let his will be done. Because as we do his will, we will feel the joy of his salvation. You could have all the money and all the house and all the cars in the world and never ever feel. I don't even want to preach if I'm not preaching God's word. I don't want to compromise the message of the Lord. Because what would it gain if I gained the whole world and lose my soul? And in that last day, the Lord will tell me what? I never knew you. That's what my brother and I were talking about. Lord, but I preached in your name. I healed the sick in your name. And he will say to me, depart from me, son of iniquity, for I never knew you. That hurts. After 45 years of preaching and teaching, that the Lord would tell me something like that, that would be the hardest thing that I could ever receive. So I ask you tonight, be thou blessed. Not only you, but you and your household. Because as you are set free, your example will set your family free. They will see the good works that are in you, where the devil can't take you down. And you will trust in the Lord in your pain. My pastor went home to be with the Lord, and I walked in just to say good words of encouragement to him. He looked up at me and says to me, I said, Pop, how you doing? He said, huh? I'm just waiting for the moment. I'm just blessing God here. Because I know that I am going home to be with the Lord. He didn't let me get a word of encouragement in. Why? Because he knew that he knew that he knew who his Savior was. And those words still ring in my spirit. That at my last moment, I may be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of he that has come to set us free. The signs of your salvation is the joy that should be in you. May God bless you and may God keep you. Amen. I didn't say amen before, right? Okay, so I'm finished. Amen. I thank God for the privilege of being here with you. We've been out preaching. We'll be in Texas in the end of the month with our sister. What's her name? Barbara Hicks. And we ask you to pray for us. When we go back to New York, we're going to be having other revivals, a whole bunch of new jobs that are coming up. So I'm going to just ask you to pray tomorrow morning. Let us rise and keep us in prayer. Keep my family in prayer that God's will be done, because I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of life, this material life. But of death, to go home with the Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm going to ask you to take a deep look into your heart and into your family's heart. Whoever comes into your mind, friends, neighbors, family members that are going through trials and tribulations, don't look at their sin. Look at their bondage. That Christ has come to set the captives free. The sign that God is going to give you. Believe in the Lord thou God, you and your household shall be saved. And these signs should follow on to those that believe. In His name you will cast out demons, lay your hands upon the sick, and they will heal. Believe in those signs. Look at your family right now. Again, don't look at their sin. Look at them and ask the Lord to set them free. The same way He set you free. Trust. If someone has hurt you, forgive them. Ask the Lord to bring a spirit of forgiveness. And say as the Lord said, Father, forgive them. For they did not know what they done. Whether their husband, wives, ex-wives, boyfriends, fathers, uncles, whoever abused you, whatever has happened in your life, forgive them. Because in that forgiveness, God is going to bring the deliverance. Not only for you, but for them also. Eternal God of forgiveness, God of love and God of peace that have come to set the captives free. The sign of our salvation, Lord God, is that you have come to set us all free. Look upon our loved ones, O Lord, our friends, neighbors, and those, O Lord God, that have trespassed against us, O Lord. We say the divine word, Almighty God. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they've done. Lord God, now I tell the spirits of destruction that indwell in their lives. Hear my voice right now. In the name of Jesus, I command you to break loose from them right now. Set them free. Let them go. Lord God, I command every tormenting spirit, every spirit, oh Lord God, that has taken captivity over our friends, families, and neighbors, Lord God, I command them to come out. Lord God, let our friends and neighbors be set free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're thanking you right now. And as those spirits move out, Almighty God, Lord God, they leave the place vacant, O Lord. We call upon your Holy Spirit to fill that part, O Lord, that was left empty. O Lord God, that their lives may be renewed and that our eyes may see the new life that you are going to give them. In the holy name of Jesus, I believe it. I believe it. And I trust that is done to the glory of your name. Because thou hast set the captives free. Go in peace. And we will hear the testimonies as we continue to walk in God's presence. God bless. And the children of the Lord say, Amen. God bless.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.